I was in the back of the television. That's important for the rest of the story. So I clearly wasn't watching TV, but while I was thinking about preaching today, and I'm sharing with you a message about tithing today, while I'm thinking about that message and kind of putting it together more specifically in my head, I heard that word come out of the television. That's a word you don't often hear out of television, and you certainly don't think of it in a public kind of setting. And so it piqued my interest as I was listening from the back of the television. And I realized after a little while what had happened is that the news had rolled off of the hour, and a Christian broadcasting television station had rolled on. And so my first thought was, how cool is that? That Christian television is playing in the Beaumont Airport. And then cooler still in the moment, the subject they were dealing with was the subject of tithing. And so I listened and I made a lot of mental notes because what they were saying was maybe as good as, maybe better than what I was going to say. And so I was kind of taking notes in my head of the teaching and the message. And the one thing I noticed from the people that were sitting in front of the television set, mind you, they were all watching the TV and I was watching the back of the TV and was watching them, and they didn't know I was watching them. You follow me where we are? The responses of the people, a dozen or more people that were sitting there watching the television, were curious, in fact, even telling, related to the subject of tithing and of money. There was one lady, older than me, a little bit older than me, who sat there, and she just had this look on her face like, she's so proud. And you could tell that she got it. You could tell that she was a lifer as far as tithing was concerned. And she, like me, was thinking, how cool Christian television in the airport, and how cool this subject. And I'm one of those people. You could just read it all over her face. So what I thought I would see from the random collection of people after I noticed her was disinterest, get up and move, just revulsion of some sort. I thought I would see some of that. But this was the part that was telling. There was not a single person in the group that was disinterested in what was going on the television. Now think about it for a moment. That's a dozen, 15 random people that have collected themselves in the Beaumont Airport in this particular hour, and there wasn't a person in the group that was disinterested in the message on the television. The story went about how important it is for us to be about the activity and the practice of tithing. Tithing, by definition, all through the Bible, is giving 10% of our income over to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 26, it talks about first fruits, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the moment. But the television station went beyond just the duty of giving your 10% to the Lord and to His church and began to talk about debt. And I have a feeling that that's what really piqued the curiosity and the interest of the people. Because the truth of it is, friend, we as a country, we as a community of people are in way too much debt. We have owned and owed, it's curious, those two words are very similar to each other. We have owned and owed our way to all kinds of possessions. And for many of us, we could confess today that we are barely above water, or maybe even underwater, chasing those things that we owe as fast as we can, trying to catch up with all the things that we've put ourselves into debt. The conversation on the television was an interview of a young couple in their 30s that were upside down financially. They had bought the house, they had bought the cars, they had bought the washing machines on credit. They had owed themselves into all the things that they claimed that they owned, and they were struggling and they were upside down. And the testimony of the man and the woman said that they went to church one Sunday, and the pastor gave a challenge to them at the point of tithing 10% of their income. Mind you, they were financially upside down. All the people in the Beaumont Airport were watching intently to this story. And he said, the pastor said to the church and said to the couple that was listening, I want you to take a tithing challenge today. I want you to start tithing no matter what, no matter where your financial situation is. And here's the deal, the pastor said to the couple. If you, after 6 months of tithing, can't make it on your life income and on the things that you've had to change and adjust in order to get right with God and get right with your finances, the pastor said, I'll give you the money back. I'll give you your money back. Money back guaranteed. And the couple said, they looked at each other and said, how could we lose? Well, I'm not doing that today, by the way. I didn't get authority to do that, but I'm not doing that. But here's the other reason why I'm not. God already did that. In the book of Malachi, which we're not going to touch today, basically God said, prove me now in this and see if I will not pour out the blessings of heaven to you if you tithe. God already did that. And in a sense is saying, you have a money back guarantee, or you call out my name, meaning God, if for some reason when you start giving the tenth, giving the tithe, you don't get more than you could handle, not so much of possessions, but of financial rightness in our lives. And so he gave that testimony, and the couple then began to say, we started tithing. We confessed that it made no sense. It didn't add up. But as a result of giving the tenth, as a result of giving 10% to the church, we had to get organized with some of our other financial burdens and get right with that. And so they weren't quoting Dave Ramsey, but it was basically the Dave Ramsey talk. If you've ever been through Dave Ramsey, you'll know what the talk is. And Dave Ramsey for years and years has preached and taught and organized people's financial lives to get out of debt so that you'll have more disposable income to be able to give to the Lord and give to causes and be generous and be free from the burden of debt. They began to talk about the debt snowball, and it goes simply like this. You take all of your debts and you line them up from the smallest one to the largest one. Typically, the largest one would be your house. And then you take the smallest one and aggressively deal with diminishing to zero that debt. Maybe it's a charge card at the department store. Maybe it's $300 or $400. You pay the minimums on everything else and what you're owed according to their rules on everything else, and you aggressively deal with that smallest debt. And you take every bit of money and you get rid of it. And after you get rid of that small debt, that charge card at the department store, that lawnmower that you're still paying on, whatever it might be, you celebrate. You celebrate by having a cup of coffee with your spouse. You don't celebrate by a big meal. You celebrate by having a small celebration. And then the next day, you take the money that you were applying to that small charge card and you apply it on top of the minimum to the next one that's a little bit bigger. And you aggressively attack that with not one bit of money, but another bit of money. And when you get the second one out, you cut that one off and zero that one out, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Along the way, you might recognize that you don't need two brand new cars with two brand new car notes. That one nice car and one, you know, average car, beater, you someone might call it, would get you to the grocery store and back is enough. Or maybe two of them that you don't have to, you know, there's just great liberty in not owing the car company for that car you're driving in the parking lot. And you start working on that one and working on that one and working on that one. And Dave Ramsey says, and the television station was saying to all these people in the Beaumont Airport, when you get to your house note, there's cause for a significant celebration, but not too big because you still owe on the house. And so at that point, all of the momentum that's been gained by attacking all of this debt and not incurring new debt and living on less can then start to be applied to the house. If you have a mortgage, if you have a house note, can you imagine what your financial flow would be like if you didn't have to pay the mortgage, if you didn't have to pay the PMI insurance, if you didn't have to pay all those car notes? Can you imagine how much income would be sitting there at the end of your expenses? And basically, the couple on the television, at some point, I finally got up and went around on the front side of the TV, and the message wasn't any different. It was just an average couple giving a testimony. But basically, what happened to them, they started tithing. They started aggressively dealing with debt. They didn't add any new debt. And about 6 months in, they got a raise. About 6 months in, there was a check that came in the mail unexpected. You know, and they started talking about all of these promises that happened, and they never had to cash in on the promise of the pastor at their church. As a result of having more disposable income, they were able to be much more generous and much more able to give liberally and freely to the ministry of the Lord and His church and to other things that they desired to give to. Here's the thing. We've been carrying the theme of generosity through the entire year, and we will continue to keep that theme before us for the year. It's not just about money, but today we're talking about money and income and our finances. As I was boarding the plane and thinking more about that talk and flying to rescue my damsel in distress out there in the West, I thought about this matter of generosity as it relates to finances. And I thought that, you know, God is never going to ask us to be more generous than we can afford to be generous. He's not going to bankrupt us with our own generosity. But the more financially free we are, the more we can afford to be generous and not miss it at all. And so the tithe, the tenth, is about, in the message we read a moment ago, is about bringing the first proceeds to the priest and to the church in the New Testament, to the church, to be able to allow the church to function as it functions today. Generally speaking, it's practical. It's practical for all of us as the members to make a financial contribution to the church so the church can benefit you and benefit others and benefit the community and literally benefit the world. Do you realize as a church, when we take in all the income that is given by the members, we take 10% of that income that is given by all of us, the members, and send it to our cooperative program, Southern Baptist Ministry Causes, that travel throughout Louisiana and travel throughout the United States and travel throughout the world. You realize that there are social ills that we watch on every news station, and Southern Baptists have a presence in attending to those social ills through the gifts that we give through the system to be able to address these matters. The chairman or the president of the Baptist Message newspaper is also a lobbyist in the state government in Baton Rouge. Will Hall is a friend of mine. Recently, Will Hall and I sit on a committee with him about this whole matter of human trafficking, of sexual deviance across Louisiana. It's a worse problem than any of us would ever want to know. Will Hall is our lobbyist in Baton Rouge for subjects just like that. I don't know if you saw the news the other day, but recently the governor earmarked $1 million of Louisiana taxpayer money to address the matter of human trafficking in Louisiana. That pressure from Southern Baptists and Louisiana Baptists was a part of that decision to set aside that fund to address that ill. So the truth of it is, when tithing is given to the church, it doesn't just all stay here. It's tithed, if you will, to other causes that trickle all the way around the world. And so it's practical. It's also beneficial in terms of just the benefit of what we experience here. The pew we sit on, the temperature control, the lights, the services for children, the services for family, the Bible study, the material, leaders to be able to serve, and on you go. It's just, it becomes the way that we function as the church, and finances are part of that as well. But it also becomes a matter of personal blessing as a result of you and I giving in the portion that we've been asked to give, knowing that we're participating in the kingdom work by giving our gift through the local church and through the system that goes around the world. And so in Deuteronomy, is supported. As we read down in verse 10, it says this, "And now behold, I have bought the first fruits of the land which you, the Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God." This first fruit is a matter of worship. And it calls for us to rejoice, verse 11, so that you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you, and to you and your house, and to the Levite, and to the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase, in the third year, the year of tithing, have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the father, the wilderness, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, and goes on from there. And so way, way, way back, the Lord was organizing the people to be about the activity of supporting the ministry with the tithe and with the matter of first fruits. And He is teaching the people and teaching us today that it works. When we think of this matter of tithing from the passage of Scripture today, it's important that we understand that when we tithe, we strongly align with the commands of God concerning our resources. The land in the Old Testament was about taking the promised land. To you and to me, the land today would be everything that we own. Property, the house, the car, the savings account, the clothes on our back, the clothes in our closet, the everything we own. All of that comes from God. Your house, your job, your income, it comes from God. And we are to give a tithe as a statement of trust and provision, anticipating a blessing of affirmation that will come. It's not necessarily a deal or no deal kind of thing with God. It's not that we give and we expect 10 times in return, but we do come to the place where we understand that when we give, God's going to take care of us with what we have left. And He'll provide for us in a way that is of God. And the giving of the tithe gives us the opportunity to say, in my own heart, I gave my tithe and God took care of me. God met my needs. God provided for me. God did God-like things. He did God-sized things. And I have gotten in the flow of that, and I don't have to worry about what God does for me when I give of some of my income. When we are giving, we also are called to give of the first fruits. The first fruits. The first resources that we make. Now, I know that we have some farmers in the group. I would not consider myself a farmer. I have grown a few vegetables before. I was raised with my grandfather who had a beautiful garden. I've never mastered the beautiful garden like my grandfather, even though I try from time to time. One of the favorite things that my grandfather loved to grow was tomatoes. He loved to grow big boy tomatoes and better boy tomatoes. And my grandfather was so proud of planting those plants so carefully and meticulously, hoeing up the dirt just so, watering just so, and he was so proud of enjoying watching those tomatoes grow. He was able to grow a better boy or a big boy tomato, he was proud of this, that was so big that you would only need one slice to cover a slice of bread for a tomato sandwich. And he would ceremoniously bring those big tomatoes to his grandson and say, "Let's have a tomato sandwich together." But if you've ever grown tomatoes before, you'll know that it's a 40 to 50 day process to get fruit off the vine. And there's a great ceremony of planting the plant and hoeing the dirt and watching the plant grow up. And then after a while, they began to bloom these yellow flowers. And each one of the flowers is supposed to be a tomato plant. You find one on the ground, you're so sad because there might be a worm getting the buds. And you don't want that because you want tomatoes. And when the flowers bloom out and all of a sudden you look behind that flower and you see a little tiny tomato. Oh, I can't wait to have my first better boy tomato. And you watch it grow and you hoe around and you water it just right and you make the sun and you stake it out and you watch those tomatoes grow and all of a sudden they get that big and they get a little bigger and then they start turning color. I can't wait to have tomatoes because I've worked so hard to produce tomatoes. So what the Lord says to do, that when that first tomato comes, the Lord says, take that first fruit, don't cut it up, and take it and give it as your offering to the Lord in your church. Now that's hard to do after waiting 40, 50 days. But if you've ever grown tomatoes and you're good at it, and some of you here are, by the time the full tomato crop comes in, man, I'm giving away tomatoes. I got more tomatoes than I can handle. They've got more tomatoes than I can eat. Here, take some of my tomatoes. And I get tired of collecting and gathering tomatoes. Well, that's what it means when we talk about the first fruit. And we give the first amount, not of tomatoes, but of our income. When we take the first part and give it to the Lord has a way of providing for you and for me and the rest of it. And funding to the point where there's more generosity than we can even imagine on our own. But if we hold back from God, that plant, by the way, that's grown by God, not by you or me, that plant has a way of getting worms, has a way of withering, has a way of just decaying, and all of a sudden there's no harvest at all. And so it's important for us to understand the message of first fruits. It's also important to recognize that when we are giving the first fruits, we are to do so with rejoicing, to celebrate, because we know that when we give the first, God will provide behind that first fruit and give what we need. We can learn to see and receive the promises and the blessings, and we also can keep the commandment of the Lord. In the case of Deuteronomy, at the end of the chapter, it says when you give the first fruits and you give to the Lord and you provide for the ministry in that way, God called them a special people. He calls us a special people as well. And so it's important for us to practice the activity and the command of the Lord to be about the ministry of first fruits, to simply settle the matter with your finances. If you find yourself upside down financially and it's hard to be generous, attend to that matter as well. And watch the Lord do incredibly awesome things in your life as you give back to Him.